Sup, fam? You have just clicked on the 9th episode of Sweepers and Reapers podcast. My name is Rachel.
My name is Angel.
And we're really happy to be back with you guys. We had some technological and life things happen in the past like week and a half, which is why this episode is a little late and a little short, but better late than never. We're here to do it to you guys. We gotta do it to them. This episode is kinda gonna be a mini. As you can see by the title, we are talking World's Dumbest Criminals, and we're hoping to make this like a little series on the podcast of mini episodes, and we hope you guys like it. World's Dumbest Criminals is an awesome topic. It made me laugh a lot researching it. Like, even the ones I didn't pick, I was geeking. So I hope you guys laugh a lot too.
I'm so glad that Rachel found, or I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the people. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to the people that listen.
I am so glad that Rachel found really good cases, because in my experience, all I found were very Facebook-y, like your next door neighbor. Her name's Brenda. She's like 46 years old. She's sharing weird Facebook jokes. Like, all the cases I found didn't include names or ages or really anything other than like, here's this silly story about crime. So,
oh, so I went real Virgo with it.
I don't know where you found it. Like, Rachel's out here doing the work, and I have some work put in, but probably not as much because I got very frustrated.
Well, I am glad that I could put the team on my back, because boy, do I have some stories. Okay, so we're going to roll right into it. So I'm sure all of you are aware of the thing that goes around on Facebook from time to time, and it's like, Google the words Florida man with your birthday and see what comes up. So I did that when I first saw it a couple years ago, and I didn't remember what mine was, so I thought that it would be fun for each of us to do that again and share the stories. So this one is mine. I just want to preface this. This isn't really a crime. Like, it's just stupidity. I'll tell you. So my birthday is August 27th, and on August 27th, 2018, which was my 22nd birthday, is it Okaloosa County? It's Florida. Is that how you say it? Okaloosa? Do you know?
Osceola?
No, it's O-K-A-L-O-O-S-A.
I think
Okaloosa.
So. I've never heard that word in my life.
It's a county, so.
Oh, okay.
So we're in Okaloosa County on August 27th, and firefighters there responded to the Niceville home of 53-year-old James Gregory Cunningham. According to the incident report cited by the Miami Herald, which is where I got all this information from, the officers could see smoke coming from the home and smelled something burning as well. I didn't find a lot on how severe the fire was, but I'll get to that later. When the firefighters knocked on his door, he was naked, and All he did, yeah, like, first of all, house is on fire, I'm probably not naked.
Maybe his clothes were on fire.
I don't know. So, he comes to the door naked, and all he does is say, I'm sorry, and close the door. Which is, like, a mood. He didn't come back at first, which, like, this part struck me weird because I'm like, his house is on fire. Why could they not just, like, bust in? But apparently they are able to get him to come back to the door, and he's still naked. And at this point, they detain him and bring him a pair of pants. So, good on them. This part, he admitted to them that he had drank 2 liters of vodka by himself and smoked a little weed.
I love that for him.
So obviously it was the weed. So you're probably wondering what the hell he was doing to catch like half of his house, I'm guessing, on fire. James was using his George Foreman grill to bake cookies. And, you know, he was drunk. He forgot about it. So he just walked away and left the grill unattended at one point. He comes back to see it on fire, and he just threw some towels on it. And just, you know, hoped that it would go out.
I'm just thinking, like, that George Foreman idea, I might have to try it. That seems like a quick way to make some really, like, good, like, kind of doughy, gooey cookies.
So, do you have one?
I think we do.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that a George Foreman grill could be a vessel for baking cookies. I honestly am still not sure if that's a smart idea. I don't know if the fire was because he did that or because he, like, left it for too long. I'm guessing both, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a story. I'm gonna go ahead and say, if we do indeed have a George Foreman grill in my household, I may or may not try this cookie method and we'll report back on the podcast. I don't think it's meant for anything other than probably raw meat. I don't know. But
like veggies and shit. Like, yeah. I just don't think I would want to clean cookie dough off a grill either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sounds dumb, but
I'm also the type of person who has in the past put frozen hash browns in a toaster.
That makes sense, though.
See, okay. I Googled it and everything on the internet said it was fine, except for one source that was like, no, you're going to catch your house on fire. The water is going to start melting off of them, and it's going to be bad. But
if you can put frozen waffles in the toaster, like, why can't you put frozen hash browns in the toaster?
I guess it's because, like, the potatoes retain a little bit more water than, like, an Eggo waffle. But I don't know. I did it, and I think I did it twice. Everything was perfectly fine. My house did not catch on fire, but about 2 or 3 days later, I woke up one morning and someone in my family was like, hey, Angel, don't know what happened, but the toaster's not toasting. We think something's wrong with it.
You're like, I don't know. I didn't use it.
I think they said it was smoking or something. I was like, wow, that's crazy. No, but I did eventually tell them and they were like, Angel, girl, like.
Fun toaster fact, when I still lived at home, I would forget to put the toaster away a lot, and my mom used to hide it from me. So
she put it away for you.
Yeah, in a place I didn't know where it was. I didn't find a lot on, like, the exact damage the fire caused or if he had many injuries, if any at all. But the firefighters who responded did say that if he had stayed in it for very much longer, he probably would have been seriously injured or killed. So, that's my Florida man.
Wow, that was quite the tale. I don't know. When I think Rachel, I think that story with your birthday kind of, I don't know. It's cute. He was making cookies.
Do you remember when I texted you and I was like, my Florida man is a mood? Because, like, that's a mood. Like, yeah. Drinking 2 liters of vodka, smoking a little weed, and being like, you know what? I've got a George Foreman grill. Might as well use it to bake cookies. I didn't find anywhere that he didn't have an oven or anything. So, just saying.
All right. So, my Florida man is very interesting. I want to include him because we're talking about it. I don't want to go out and say that this man is stupid. I don't really want to call this man anything. Also, since I just brought up Rachel's fitting her, although I am a woman with a plan, and you often hear me on this podcast go to great lengths to describe what I would do if I were that person, you know.
This is such a Libra-ass thing. Like, going into these hypothetical ass, like, well, if that was me, because Dylan does that shit all the fucking time.
So I just want to say, although I am the woman with the plan, this is not my plan. This would never be my plan. And with that, on October 7th, 2018, I believe.
Oh, same year.
Mm-hmm. Florida man claims he killed and dismembered his roommate because he was possibly the next mass killer. Cops say.
Well, you know, I'm not an advocate for taking the law into your own hands, but what was his proof that this guy was the next mass murderer? Like, what? Where was the evidence?
Eric DaCosta, age 52, faces, this is an old article, charges of premeditated murder and abuse of a dead body because he believed his roommate could possibly be the next mass killer that we hear about in the media. And he allegedly told investigators that his roommate had become increasingly violent in the 5 years that he had known him. He thought his roommate had an undiagnosed mental illness, that he used cocaine, and that he was prone to violent verbal outbursts that included death threats toward him and his family. So, that's what did it.
And this was just, like, him saying that? Like, it wasn't... Was there any proof? I mean, you can't kill people, but I'm just curious. You know me, I like to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, that's literally all. Like, it's just, oh yeah, he was a little violent. Like, obviously, I'm not trying to take this man's side. Like, if this is true, he's on coke, he's being violent. That's crazy. But as the woman with the plan, I think at that point, maybe talk to your landlord or whoever.
Right, there's no way that you jump from, like, you know, like, you don't go straight to killing people. You just don't. No. That's just not it. Other shit has to happen before you get there.
So, yeah, that is my Florida man. And honestly, when I clicked on it, I was like, wow, this would make a great episode. Like, this is a little spicy right here, but yeah.
So, I have a story out of Texas that I am really excited to share with you because it is pure karma.
Okay, I'm excited.
So, you know who Jay-Z is, right?
Yes.
If you really wanted to go to a Jay-Z concert, like, really bad, what would you do to get Jay-Z tickets, do you think? Would you just pay for them, like every other normal person?
Yeah, I'd probably pay for them, maybe enter a few radio contests if I felt like putting in that work.
Right, right, okay. So, Jay-Z was scheduled to play the Toyota Center in Houston on December 19th of 2013. And there was a guy who was selling 8 tickets to the show on Craigslist. On December 15th, 4 days before the concert, the man was contacted by someone wanting to purchase a pair of tickets to the show, and they had agreed to meet at a local Starbucks. So the person who contacted him, her name was, I think it's Sessica?
Ooh.
Like Jessica with a C?
I don't know how I feel about that. I was thinking with an S.
No, it's with a C. Sessica? Sessica? I don't really know how to say it. But her last name was Darden. And the other person that was involved in this event was her friend named Denitra Green, and they were both 20. So from what I read, it looked like Darden was the one who was, like, talking to him. And she actually ended up asking him to meet her outside the Starbucks because she had her baby with her and couldn't leave the child alone in the car. So he actually brought his girlfriend with him to, like, meet them. And he was like, okay, sure, no problem. So he goes out there and he leans into the window of the car. Green was driving and then Darden was in the passenger seat. And, like, the really fucked up part of this is her baby actually was in the back seat. Like, that wasn't a lie.
Do we know how old the baby was?
Nope.
Oh.
So he leans into the passenger seat and he shows them the tickets so they can, you know, verify, like, hey, got the tickets, whatever. And at this point, Green floors it and steps on the gas while he's half in, half out of the window.
Oh, no.
So he's, like, stuck, like, in the passenger window at this point. He can't get out. Green's speeding out of the parking lot onto the main road that this Starbucks is on. And the man's yelling. He's like, stop, stop, stop. She doesn't stop, obviously. and darted in the passenger seat starts kicking his arm, so he, like, loses his grip, and he falls out of the window and gets run over by the car.
What?
Yes. And also, this is in broad daylight with many witnesses in front of many businesses on a main road. Just so you're aware. So, this man suffered a broken left arm, broken right hand, broken right leg, a torn right knee, which I guess they mean like his ACL or MCL or something, mm-hmm. and major road rash to his face and body. Like I said, there were a bunch of witnesses, and one of them was able to get the license plate of this car. So.
That's insane.
I know. It's so stupid. Like, for those of you who don't know, Jonathan Groff is everything to me. I love him so much. He was recently in Little Shop of Horrors, and it was in like a 250 cap theater off Broadway. And I wanted to go ridiculously bad, but the tickets were super fucking expensive, like more expensive than your girl got. And I don't think I would do this. I would just take the L. If someone was like, you cannot go, or you can run someone over, I'd be like, I'm probably just not going to go. You know? Like, I don't know. That's just me.
Do we know if this was their original plan all along, or if maybe in the moment the driver just decided to act crazy and then her friend was like, all right, ride or die, like, I'll start kicking this guy.
They both admitted to it when they got arrested, and that's all that I found.
Oh.
But would you like to hear how the police arrested them?
Yes, please.
Can you guess?
No.
It's because they went to the fucking concert and were sitting in the seats, and that's where the police found them. Like, they literally arrested them at the concert.
That is so interesting. Like, they got to go to their concert, and also, I mean, this is bad, but depending on how long they had to spend in jail, like, that's a story, I guess. It doesn't justify what they did, but holy crap.
They got charged with, they got charged with aggravated robbery, which is a felony.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Not worth it. Jay-Z is awesome, but not worth it.
Jay-Z, if you're listening, you can send your opinions over on Gmail at Sweepers and Reapers Pot. No, just kidding.
Jonathan Groff, though, if you want to send your thoughts, please. The other day, I was really sad about something, and I was crying, and I asked Dylan, do you think Jonathan Groff would be on my podcast if we knew each other? And he was like, Rachel, are you fucking kidding? I was like, I need you to answer honestly. Also, another famous question. Do you think Logic would like me if he knew me? I'm the worst. Yeah. So they got charged with aggravated robbery. They were 20, too, which is like, that struck me as like interesting. I don't know why, but I was like, damn, like, what? I don't know. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that was quite the tale. And this next tale takes us back to the great state of Florida. We are going to Century, Florida, where we meet Donald Pugh, a.k.a. Chip.
Wait, how is it spelled?
P-U-G-H.
That's Pew.
Pew.
Like Pew boy.
All right. Donald Chip Pew. And I'm going to call him Chip because I don't know. That's his nickname.
That's what he went by, man. Chip.
Yeah. He was 45 years old in 2016, which is when all of this took place. And he was wanted by the police in Northwestern Ohio for failure to appear in court on a DUI charge. So for our foreign listeners, DUI is just driving under the influence. That covers like alcohol, any sort of drug or intoxicating substance, if you will. So he was also a person of interest in a few other cases, some involving things much more serious like vandalism and arson. So, you know, they really wanted this guy. And the Lima Police Department decided to make a Facebook post inquiring about anything that could lead to his arrest because, like I just said, they really wanted to get this guy. And this is when Chip apparently sees the post on Facebook and thinks to himself, hey man, that is a bad picture of me. So he proceeds to take a selfie to use in reply to the Facebook post. And then he either posts it in a reply in like a comment on the thread, or he sends a message. The screenshots that I have personally seen appear to be on Facebook Messenger, which personally makes this way better, in my opinion.
He sent it directly. Like, yeah. Like, here you go, man. I love that.
So he sends them the selfie with a comment that says, quote, "Here is a better photo. That one is terrible."
This is literally me. If they posted my mugshot, I'd be like, actually, do you mind using this one?
So the Lima Police Department then makes a new Facebook post, including the bad mugshot, his new mugshot from his most recent arrest, which wasn't as bad, and then the selfie. But they also take a screenshot of the comment and include the screenshot of, quote, "Here is a better photo. That one is terrible." And they post it all in one big photo post on Facebook.
That's amazing. Did he turn himself in?
I think eventually they tracked him down, but my favorite thing is that according to the police's Facebook page, this is what the police department has to say. Quote, "This photo was sent to us by Mr. Pugh himself. We thank him for being helpful, but now we would appreciate it if he would come speak to us, .. about his charges." End quote.
The drama. I love it.
But yeah, I saw that and I was like, honestly, same. And if anyone cares, I think it would, maybe I'll post the bad mugshot in the, you know,
hell post yeah,
advertising this episode. It was a really bad picture. Like, I feel for Chip. Like,
all right, man, that is bad.
Yeah, he wasn't just doing this for clout. He really had something to say there, you know? But yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Chip. You son of a gun. All right. So my next case is coming to us out of Chicago back in 2008. So 18-year-old Ruben Zarate. It's honestly, it's spelled like karate, but with a Z.
Ooh.
Yeah, pretty cool. But we're just going to call him Ruben. Ruben walks into Velasquez Mufflers for Less around 8 a.m. wearing a mask, and he's got a big black hoodie on, and he's got a revolver, like, kind of tucked into his hoodie. So he walks in and begins demanding money from the clerk at the desk of the store. And the clerk's like, "Look, buddy, we don't have a lot in the register, and I don't have access to the safe. Only my manager does." So Ruben's next step, logically, was to be like, "All right, here's my phone number, and here's another phone number. When your manager comes back, call me. And I'm gonna come rob you."
I don't love him, but I love him. I don't love him. I love this mood. This just, yeah. Freaking call me when he gets back, dude. Like, come on.
Apparently, he also told the clerk, "You guys better call me because otherwise I'm going to come back to shoot you."
Oh.
Yeah. And he had a gun on him. So they were like, oh. So instead, the employees thought it would be a better idea to contact Chicago police. And officers would immediately respond to the shop, and they came in like street clothes and not like, they came in unmarked cars as well to kind of like, you know, throw this dude off. And when they get there, they told the employees to go ahead and call him and tell him that the manager was there and to come back. He came back around noon. And he's wearing the same outfit, same dark clothes, and he walks into the shop, tells all of the employees to get to the back of the shop, and a police source would say that he started to pull his gun out from his hoodie, and the officers, at least one of them, opened fire on him, and he got one shot in the leg, which was considered non-life-threatening, and he was treated at a little... Oh, blah. He was treated at a local hospital.
Wow. And,
yeah, and I actually found another one that was, like, similar but different. The guy had called ahead and was like, "Hey, I'm going to come rob you of $1,000 or $100,000, So, like, have it in 20s and 10s when I get there. And they were like, we're going to call the cops.
See, I love this because as the woman with the plan, immediately when you were telling me the first story, I'm like, okay, I hope they were smart enough to think like, okay, we're going to have the cops here. They're going to be undercover and he's going to walk in. Like, I'm so happy that that's how that turned out. I just want to say.
I know. Like, I just think it's hilarious that he even tried. Like, did you really think that that was going to work out for you? Did you honestly think they weren't going to call the cops? Like, come on now.
So, our next case takes us back to Texas. So, what states have we had so far? Florida, Texas?
And Illinois, Chicago.
Okay, cool. So, Miss Chastity Hobson was accused of battery. And from what I understand, maybe there was a warrant out for her arrest. I'm not really sure. This is why I said I had a hard time with this topic because everything was like really short snippets. But basically, back in 2016, when everyone was freaking out about the Ebola virus, the Granite Shoals Police Department in Texas issued a very special warning on their Facebook page. They told everyone in town, quote, "If you have recently purchased meth or heroin in Central Texas, please take it to the local police or sheriff department so it can be screened with a special device. Do not use it until it has been properly checked for possible Ebola contamination," end quote.
No, this is like the one over in the UK where they sent people who had warrants for their arrests. They were like, hey, you want a free case of beer? Come collect it. They did not win beer.
So Miss Chastity Hobson decides, all right, I'm going to bring in my own personal sample of illegal substance. And as soon as she did this, obviously, this was a ruse, everybody. This was fake. They did not have a special device. It was a trick. She was promptly arrested and held on a bond of $5,000.
That's kind of fucked up, to be honest.
Yeah, I just...
I mean, meth fucks up the way you think, so, like, I could see someone maybe being like, oh, that makes sense. I don't know. I like to play devil's advocate on the podcast.
I'm just thinking, like, did she not have friends in her life that also used meth or heroin or whatever the illegal substance was? Because my way of thinking is, like, she probably would have someone to mention this to. She'd be like, hey, Chad, like, I know we both do methamphetamines together. Want to make sure we both don't get Ebola? And then hopefully Chad down the street would be like, dude, like, that's a ruse. That's fake. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... Can you get Ebola through meth?
I have no idea. I was not up to date with Ebola happenings, so... I really did not pay attention to Ebola, as bad as that sounds. I don't know. Maybe that's I'm fair. Just an ignorant person.
I just, you know, maybe I'm just ill-informed. I was not aware that Ebola spread through meth, and as soon as we get done this episode, I'm gonna Google it. So this is our last tale of this mini episode, and we're going back to Florida!
This should have just been the Florida Man special. I love my home state. I stay in Florida.
So Frank Singleton was 21 years old, and he was from West Palm Beach, Florida. He had just recently spent some time, I'm not sure how long it was, but I'm guessing like a few days, in Palm Beach County Jail after being arrested on a misdemeanor trespassing charge. So as soon as my guy gets released, he runs into the visitors' parking lot of the jail. The article that I saw says he was just trying to, like, get out of there as fast as possible. I just straight up don't know what this guy was thinking because this is... I saved the dumbest one for last, for sure. He tries to carjack a Nissan in the parking lot of the county jail And I said that like that on purpose because I really want that to stick with you.
I mean, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
The parking lot of the jail, as soon as he was released, like literally as soon as he got out, he tried to carjack someone.
Okay, but you need a car. You need a car. There's a parking lot. Like, 2 + 2 = 4, Rachel. I don't know what's so hard to understand.
I hate this. So, the lady who's driving the car said that she was, like, literally just getting out of it when he runs up to her and he goes, I want your car. And he pushes her out of the way, grabs her keys, and he jumps in the car. But when he gets in the car, it's a manual transmission and he doesn't know how to drive stick.
Mood. Do you know how to drive a stick?
Oh, fuck no, I don't. I drive a Fiat 500. Well, some of them are manual. That's not a valid point. But no, I don't.
Tell us on our social media handles, because I know you guys love us. I can feel it in my soul, but you guys just don't really comment. So comment on our next post and tell us if you drive stick.
Yeah, if you get this far in the episode, tell us whether or not you drive stick. I'll probably never learn because I don't feel like I need to. Everyone who drives it is like, oh, you should learn. And I'm like, I would say I don't have time. I do have time. I just don't care.
It's like the veganism of car driving.
Oh, no, it's not. Get out of here.
I love you.
No, no. Oh, man. I love you too, but that was ugly. So an officer from the sheriff's office would see the commotion and he points his gun at Singleton and he orders him to the ground where he handcuffs him. The officer asks him as well. He's like, why'd you do this? Can you please guess what this man said?
I needed a car.
He just didn't feel like walking.
Exactly. He needed a car.
He just didn't feel like. I understand that sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, but he did not have to do this. And he chose a pretty fucking bad location. So, I think I saved the best for last.
You most certainly did.
Oh, Frank. Because that's. It's like the article that I read, the main point that they wanted you to walk away with was, like, this man was literally in for, like, a few days for a misdemeanor and walked out being charged with a felony. Not even walked out. Like, he had to come back.
See, I'm picturing Frank Gallagher from Shameless, so.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. It's a very Frank. Well, maybe, I don't know, because I feel like Frank Gallagher is, like, very sly and, like, would maybe not do that, but also I could totally see him doing that.
See, like, I think Frank Gallagher would do it, but he'd get away with it.
Well, this was our first mini episode ever, and I think it went pretty okay. So if you also think it's pretty okay, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sweep and Reap.
You can also email us at sweepersandreaperspod@gmail.com if you have suggestions, comments, concerns. If you want to chat with us, two lovely ladies, if you're a Libra, if you're a Virgo. I also really like Aries. Go for it.
Oh my god. I'm a double Aquarius. So if you're also an Aquarius and you want to talk about that, I don't know. Let me know. We can chat. All
right, cool.
It always ends with astrology here. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.